Covering the crew all season long, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studio in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue, here is your host, Greg Matzek.
In for Don Catronio tonight. He is off on assignment and will be back tomorrow. So you get me until 10 o'clock tonight, recapping a Brewers 2-1 loss, the final in 10 innings against the Philadelphia Phillies. Welcome in. It is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Greg Matzek with you, and would be happy to hear from you as well following tonight's game at 855-616-1620. We'll dip into your calls, play some highlights. We have comments from Pat Murphy also coming up. A bit of breaking news here for the Brewers. They've announced Aaron Ashby is going to start tomorrow for the Brewers. And I assume it'll be a normal start. I'm not sure that he's up here just as a lefty to get a few outs at the top of the game in the first inning and maybe bleeding into the second inning, but it's certainly possible as the Brewers look to sort of piece things together. They've used this opener or initial out-getter the first two games of the series, using a lefty to kind of chip away at the Phillies lineup that has lefties at the top of it, and Kyle Schwarber and Bryce Harper, before giving way to a more regular starter. In this case, Colin Ray tonight will recap the game, a 2-1 loss to the Phillies. Frustrating game. Just by and large, right? It's a good team in the Philadelphia Phillies. They are where they are in the standings with good reason. They're 43-19. They have an outstanding environment to play in front of at home. I think you've seen that here these first two games of the series. And I know Wheeler and Aaron Nola really jump off the page as you're looking at this series going in, saying, wow, you're facing two of the best that this league has to offer. You can't outdo what has been done by this pitching staff as a whole for the Philadelphia Phillies. At 43-19, 26-9 at home, by the way, they also have an incredible pitcher in Chris Sanchez. So you may not have known a lot about Sanchez coming into tonight's game, but he's really been the stabilizing rock of this entire staff, along with Aaron Nola, I would say, and Wheeler's certainly been outstanding. Six innings pitched tonight, four hits allowed, one earned run, just three strikeouts. So the Brewers had their opportunities, but he's got a 2.71 ERA at this juncture of the season. That is certainly not an accident. So it wasn't like you thought there would be a lot of runs scored today. And as the Brewers were kind of chipping away and trying to find their way, manufacture a run, see if they could just move a runner across, right, you know that this run-scoring environment was going to be challenging tonight. And it likely will be tomorrow as well. You do what you can to try and claw out a run. Well, the Brewers were able to do that. And amazingly, that run held until the eighth inning when Alec Bohm ambushed a pitch by Yoel Piamps and put it in the left center field stands. All of a sudden, the game was tied. I don't want to say you felt a momentum shift, but you certainly felt the stadium come alive, right? The tenor in the crowd the rest of the way was just a little different, even at a point where the Brewers looked like they were going to threaten and maybe take the lead in the ninth inning, and then and again with an opportunity in the tenth. The difference in tonight's game is simply this. The Philadelphia Phillies cashed in on their opportunities. The Brewers did not. 855-616-1620 if you'd like to join us here on the program. Just getting started, we'll check in with Craig Koshon of Bally Sports Wisconsin coming up on the other side. Would love to hear from you as well. 2-1 the final in 10 innings. Missed opportunities haunt the Brewers tonight. We're back to recap it after this on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
1-1 pitch. Ground ball to first base. Big hop for Hoskins. Race to the bag. Reese will win that race. And Colin Ray gets out of it. Pat Murphy stuck with his veteran, and it paid off.
Yeah, the Phillies threatened to score in the second inning and then in the fifth. You heard the highlight. Colin Ray able to get Bryce Harper to ground out to first base, ending a threat. Kyle Schwarber had walked earlier in that inning. JT Realmuto was hit by a pitch. So there were runners on first and second with the dangerous Bryce Harper coming up against the righty in Colin Ray. Ray gets out of it. Brewers again with their pitching get out of a jam in the sixth inning, and this is after there was a double by Stott, a walk by Nick Castellanos. So two on and one out. Hudson comes in as the lefty and gets out of that inning, stranding both of those runners And at that point, the Brewers were still hanging on to that 1-0 lead. It changed, of course, in the eighth inning. Phillies cashing in on their opportunities in the extra innings. Brewers unable to do so in the ninth and the tenth. And here we are, 2-1 the loss in 10 innings. Happy to welcome in Craig Koshon of Bally Sports Wisconsin. Craig, kind of a frustrating game. This is not the White Sox, right? The White Sox allow teams back into games. That happened to the Brewers last weekend at American Family Field. Brewers took advantage of every opportunity against Chicago in sweeping that series. Not as easy to come by against Philadelphia. You have to cash in if you want to get ahead of this team.
Well, it's a rude awakening when you're playing the worst and then you're playing the best in a matter of just, you know, two series. And you're right. There's just no way the Brewers are going to win these games if they're holding in a score one run in each. I mean, unfortunately, the way it goes in baseball, you're just not, you know, if you just don't cash it in with plenty of opportunities, let's face it, it's not like there were few opportunities tonight. There are plenty of opportunities. But we've seen this, you know, in cycles with this team this year. They go through a series of games, and for whatever reason, it is like pulling teeth trying to get a runner home, or a runner safe at home, for that matter. And it's been a rough series at home plate for this team, for sure. But, yeah, I mean, the White Sox, I mean, look, you had to grab those wins while you could. And it's a good thing the Brewers ended up sweeping that series, because it's been rough here these first two games. And, you know, this Phillies team, they're tough to beat at home. They just are. And, you know, good luck tomorrow, because they're going to have their hands full with, you know, putting Aaron Ashby out there tomorrow. And he hasn't pitched on the big league level in, you know, a long time here now. So they're going to be asking a lot out of this young pitcher.
2-1 the final. Let's hone in on the ninth inning here, Craig, because you absolutely had the lineup you wanted, that part of the lineup up for the Brewers after the Phillies had tied it in their half of the eighth. So Contreras leads off with a single. Yelich right after follows with a single to right. Now you got runners on first and second. Adames just misses hitting one out to right center, but nonetheless able to move a runner to third base. And I got first and third with one out. And then you get a runner to second base, and Yelich, he steals second. Second and third, one out. Looking good, right? I think Kreese Hoskins is probably very frustrated with himself that he took a called third strike on a 94-mile-an-hour pitch that kind of came in on the zone. You got to go down swinging, I think, in that situation. Then Gary Sanchez flies out to center. It was set up. It was set up the right way for the Brewers to push a run across in the ninth inning, but that's one of those key opportunities you look at. And I'm sure Kreese Hoskins is beating himself over the head right now that he went down looking.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, he took two straight strikes right down the middle of the plate. So, I mean, you got to go down fighting better than that in that situation. So the homecoming's over. It's time to swing a bat for your new team here and get to work. And I mean that all in the sense of, you're right, he is beating himself up over that. There's no question about that. This is why he is a Milwaukee Brewer right now. They signed him in these big situations. Now, is he going to come through every single time? No, but it's hard to look at those two pitches without swinging, especially for a guy that's been around for a long time. So that's a bitter pill to swallow at the plate, but it also exemplifies, like I said before, where the Brewers get in these ruts with runners in scoring position. I mean, you just can't continue to go game after game as an ofer with runners in scoring position. So they were very, very fortunate to not only be in that game in the ninth inning, let alone in extra innings. But the worst part is they had a great chance to win this game tonight.
They certainly did. And I want to talk about that coming up on the other side. Let's go analyze the 10th inning. Brewers with an opportunity to take the lead in the 10th. It was really a nice situation that was developing. And, of course, the Brewers end up not scoring a run in a 2-1 10-inning loss. We'll analyze that. We'll take your calls as well at 855-616-1620. Happy to join us on the program here. It's Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Dominguez, 3-2. Swing ground ball to second. Runner breaking for the plate. It's fielded by Stott. Throw home. Tag applied. Out. Dunn out. Realmuto held over the baseball as Dunn slid into him. Runners will be on first and third, but now with two away as the Brewers put the contact play on. And the ground ball by Terang was right at the second baseman, Bryson Stott.
Well, raise your hand if you like the run on contact play in Major League Baseball. I am not raising my hand. I don't know if Craig Kishon is, but
no,
I am not. But I know. I was analyzing this situation. Craig Kishon, Greg Matzik with you. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Dom is out somewhere. I don't really know where he is, but he'll be back tomorrow. I promise you that. We love you, Dom. So here's the 10th inning situation for the Milwaukee Brewers. Blake Perkins grounds out to shortstop. Oliver Dunn starts the inning at second base. He advances to third. Frelick pinch hits for Jackson Churio, then is hit by a pitch, and then steals second. So now you've got runners on second and third with one out. And the contact play is on. Run on contact, break for home if you're on third. Bryce Terang puts the ball in play, grounds into what became a fielder's choice, kind of a tailor-made hop to second base. If you're the runner, you're not worried about that. You just know crack of the bat, you've got to go if it's on the ground especially. And ultimately, Dunn is cut out at home plate. And I'm frustrated, Craig. I'm looking at that thinking to myself, I know you force an infielder to make a good play, but these are also major leaguers, and you're a dead duck trying to get to home plate. Now, on the other side of it, and I understand it, let's say you look the runner back and you get the out at first base. Well, ultimately, Terang ended up stealing second, so you had second and third with two out anyway. So the situation is likely no different. You're going to be looking at second and third with two out. But it feels like the run on contact play, not this situation alone, has gotten the Brewers in trouble at times. I'm looking at this situation thinking I understand it because it likely would have been a second and third situation with two out. I'm still annoyed every time I see a lead run cut out at home plate.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, look, we're fans of this game by emotion first, and those things just gnaw at you. However, you're right, they are part of the game, and in that particular play, look, Greg, I'm not a fan of run on all contact when there's a runner at third. I think there is still some pause in this game of baseball where you can make a decision in less than a second or at least a second and still make the right decision. I don't think it's always to go on contact in those particular scenarios that we've seen so much. So, but that's the team choice. If it's go, it's go. And that's it. And that becomes very frustrating to watch from the stands, from the TV, you know, from the other side. So, ultimately, though, here's the thing: we're still talking about who's at the plate in that scenario. It's Terang, and I can't remember if it happened to him yesterday. I don't think it did, but I think it was on the most recent homestand. Some of these guys like Terang and Frelick, Dunn when he gets his opportunity, Joey Ortiz. They're still young guys, and they're not professional hitters yet. The guys that to me are, hey, if there's a runner at third, less than two outs, you have got to figure out a way to put this ball in play to the outfield and make it much easier on everybody and make it more secure. And this is where this team, when it has its veterans and it has a lot of really young guys here right now. So, you know, sometimes at the plate, it's hit or miss depending upon who's up there with the ability to do that. So that's where I would like to see this team obviously develop in the next year or two, where these young guys, you know, aren't just more free swinging in a big situation and can figure out a way to, you know, choke up on the bat, you know, whatever it may be, and figure out a way to direct this ball into the outfield and make it a little easier on sac flies. So it's there. It's coming. This is what professional hitters do. And hopefully these guys will all turn into something like that.
So two at-bats that I think help further your point, Craig. Let's go back to at-bat number one. It's Willy Adames in the ninth inning after Contreras and Christian Yelich reached base via single. Adames gets one into the outfield deep, right? I mean, you thought maybe he had a chance, but just got a little bit under it, but flies out to the warning track. You've done your job. You've advanced your runner. You're 90 feet away from taking a lead late in this game. And then I'll go to the Phillies, bottom of the 10th. I understand what the numbers say and the percentages and all that stuff. I do not like putting the bat in Nick Castellanos' hand to win a game.
No.
For exactly what you just mentioned, I look on paper and I see 214 hitter. You think that's a 214 hitter in that situation? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
So that decision, I understand why you make it. You want the force out. I would have much rather taken my opportunities with Stott than Castellanos, just given what that dude has done over the course of his career.
Well, and you know, another decision you could have made is go after Stott and get that first out and then walk Castellanos.
Sure.
And then set yourself up for the double play with a less dangerous hitter for a guy that, I mean, Castellanos has had some big time moments in his career. And there's a reason he's on the Phillies right now, because this is what this team does. And he fits in very nicely. And where was the pitch that he hit, by the way? It was high and outside of the strike zone. He's like, I'm going for it, baby. And it was high and a bit outside out of the strike zone, and he just slapped that thing down the right field line. I mean, that's, you know, again, that's where I hope the Brewer young hitters will be soon enough. But this guy's been around too long. I don't know, man, when they put Stott on and I'm like, okay, you want to pitch to this guy? And that was one pitch and it was over.
Professional hitter. All right. I mean, there's a rhythm to Nick Castellanos' career. He does well for a team that's out of the playoff hunt. He ends up being a trademark target. He goes to a contending team. He plays well in clutch situations. Then he ends up with a contract on a contender at the start of the year. That's kind of his rhythm. And here he is delivering in the 10th inning. That was not a surprise to me. I do want to dive into the Brewers' pitching just overall here. The strategy coming into this series against Philadelphia. Are we going to see something similar tomorrow with Aaron Ashby? You do have a lefty coming in. He doesn't have a lot of time under his belt at the major league level this season. It's been a minute for Aaron Ashby. We'll dive into the next decision that Pat Murphy made, the first decision really following tonight's game, a 2-1 loss in 10 innings. More Brewers extra innings with this. Craig and Sean will hang on. We hope to hear from you as well at 855-616-1620. We're back after this on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
The left-hander, 3-2 pitch, swinging a ground ball, chopped to third. Coming for the plate is Perkins. Bohm Fields. He doesn't have a play at home, so he throws to first and gets Monasterio instead. And the Brewers take the lead.
And not exactly the most exciting run in Brewers history, but nonetheless, it held up until the eighth inning. That ground out by Andrew Monasterio plating Blake Perkins. That up until the point where Alec Bohm went deep. And that was about it for the Brewers. The momentum started to shift, and they fell to the Phillies tonight. 2-1 the final in 10 innings. Phillies cashing in on their late-game opportunities. Brewers falling short with two on and nobody out in the ninth, and unable to play to run in the 10th as well. So they go down and look to avoid the sweep tomorrow with Aaron Ashby on the mound. So this is interesting, Craig. We went into tonight not really knowing what was going to happen in the final game of this series. And really, it was kind of a mystery going into the series. And, of course, you've got the out-getter taking a reliever, putting him at the beginning of the game to face Philly lefties. And it worked out very well yesterday, and by and large today as well. I think you got what you needed out of Colin Ray. Didn't have to worry about the likes of Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber more than a couple of times. Things played out, strategy well-developed by Pat Murphy. So what happens tomorrow with Aaron Ashby, a guy who has pitched the bulk of this season at the minor league level, and admittedly it's not gone terribly well, but he comes in as a lefty. Is he an out-getter tomorrow, or do you need to ride him for four or five innings?
I don't think you need to ride him for four or five innings. He might be an out-getter, to be perfectly honest with you. Like you said, it's been a while, since early April, since he's pitched his one game at the major league level. And, you know, on the minor league side, it has not been good. His ERA is just under 7 in 10 starts, and his whip is 197 on the minor league level. So he is not commanding really any of his pitches here right now. So it's been rough for him. There is no question about it. This is not at all, I think, what the Brewers would ever would have envisioned when they started to develop this guy, you know, 4 years ago. So I would not be surprised if he was more of the out-getter tomorrow. I'll tell you right now, if they hope to get any length out of him, he may go until he runs into some kind of trouble. But I would almost guess that Jansen Junk is going to be, you know, next in line to come in. So, you bring him in. He hasn't pitched in 8 days either, by the way. So they're going to try to patch things together. I'm not so sure how secure tomorrow's strategy is going to be versus the last two and what they did in Boston with Koenig. But we'll see how it plays out. I mean, there's a certain risk to this, and I've talked about it with Dom. But to me, I'll say it again, it's not a risk if you know what you're doing. And I think with Koenig and Ray and Bryce Wilson, that combination, that to me was a go for sure. Tomorrow might be a little bit dicey. We'll have to see how it plays out. But you know what? How about some early runs of support, which we have not seen, obviously, in this series in the first two games either. And, take some pressure off of these young guys.
Would love to see that as well, no doubt about it. You know, you feel good about things as they approached the ninth inning. Really, it was, and I hesitate to call it a mistake, that Alec Bohm hit out of the park. It was 96. It was up. It was starting to come in on his hands a little bit. Pulled his hands back and got some good wood on the ball to drive it out to left center field. But very few mistakes made by the pitching staff. Able to get out of some jams tonight. Was really impressed with Trevor McGill as well, Craig. You know, you talk about trying to absorb the loss of Devin Williams as best you can for as long as you can. I think there's confidence that Trevor McGill can be a guy in the back end of a game to lock things down. He's got the heat. There's no doubt about that. He also can break off a nasty slider or curveball. We saw instances of that. He was able to challenge, you know, the meat of the order, the heart of the order for the Philadelphia Phillies in a pretty high-pressure situation. This about a week or so after taking a line drive off the elbow. So he's clearly rebounded, looked good tonight, hit 100 tonight. I like what Trevor McGill brings. He's imposing. He's 6'8". He's 250 pounds. He's a big man, and he throws 100 miles an hour. You can live with that in the back end of your bullpen, but he also seems to have the mental side of things locked up. Nothing seems to faze him too much.
Well, I mean, look, he's turned his career around here. He's turned his career around with Chris Hooks as his pitching coach and really the organization in their development of pitching. And he's built his confidence as a major leaguer here. So he's going to pitch well here, I would guess, for the unforeseeable future for sure. And, you know, Greg, we don't know exactly how the Devin Williams return is going to play out. I saw him at the ballpark on Sunday, and he was doing some long tosses. And that's, you know, his progress coming back from, you know, his back injury is very decided and very determined to make sure that they don't take any missteps. So they're taking their time with him. And right now, you know, he's not due to come back before the end of July. So we're talking about nearly two more months of living with the bullpen the way it is, and it's not been bad at all, man. I right now I would take Trevor McGill up against anybody's closer right now. I mean, he's had very, very few times where things have not gone his way, and if they did, I mean, tonight he had some traffic on a leadoff single, and then he's got a hot base runner on base to deal with as well. So he's done a great job. He's got tremendous stuff. I mean, if he can toss 99, 100, no matter what, that's just deadly to opposing hitters right now. So I really like what this guy has for this team.
It's pretty interesting, Craig. I think you're spot on in just even bringing up Chris Hook's name. You know, I think oftentimes, you know, pitching coaches, position coaches, bench coaches, hitting coaches, they are scapegoats for when things go wrong, and too often don't get enough credit when things are going right. Just think about over the last couple of years, pitchers who have been in the Brewers system who were cast away from other teams for whatever reason, traded, in the case of Yoel Piamps, Elvis Peguero kind of comes out of nowhere. Same for Abner Uribe, who was electrifying but kind of all over the place. And they get into the Brewers system, they get to the major league team, And all of a sudden, things seem to click for whatever reason. Now, hanging on to it, sustained success, yeah, I get it. That's all part of the conversation as well. But Chris Hook has done an unbelievable job as pitching coach. I don't know how else you shape it up, given the number of pitchers that have come into this organization recently and performed at a high level when you weren't really sure about them when they got to the Brewers.
Yep, and you know, and to top all that off, he really wants to be here, and he's been in the organization for a long, long time. And, you know, he was given his promotion, you know, several years ago to be the pitching coach here, and he's relished in that role. And I know there's a lot of contributors along the way. There's a lot of people behind the scenes that do a tremendous amount of work, all the way from the lab, quote unquote, the lab, back in Phoenix at their training complex, you know, through the minor league system all the way to here. It takes a lot to turn guys around. It takes a lot to especially develop guys, and we've seen a really great mix of both under his tutelage. So I think it's pretty awesome that, you know, this guy wants to be here, and this guy is flourishing with these challenges that he's had. And, you know, this staff, look what they're missing on the starting end. I mean, we can brag all we want about how the relievers are, you know, one after another, turning into something really special here. But he's done a hell of a job as well with what he's got right now in that starting rotation, which I don't mean to say this in a non-flattering way. It's going to come out this way, but at times there's not much to work with there just because of all the injuries this team has endured. But, you know, he stays positive. The team has stayed positive, and they have figured it out. So I hope they get one more to figure it out tomorrow to get a win out of this Phillies series.
Would love to see it. Brewers fall to 36-25 with the loss. Still a 6.5 game advantage over the Cubs and Cardinals in the NL Central Division. They're both losing, by the way. The Cubs losing to the White Sox right now. Been a rough stretch here for the Cubs. They've only won twice in their last 10 games. Cardinals also losing right now to the Astros. That game 7-5 in the seventh inning. So just one team over 500 in the NL Central, Craig. And it's the Milwaukee Brewers at 36-25. Everybody else is chasing to get back to 500. Things change quickly in the course of a season, don't they?
Yeah, they really do. And, you know, the Brewers got hot at the right time. They've really played well at home. So that homestand last week, you know, against two struggling Chicago teams, obviously. But, Greg, to take advantage of it, you know, don't give away games. You can't be perfect on a homestand. I mean, it's tough to do. But to go 6-1 the way they did, you know, set themselves up nicely for the, you know, the challenge that they've got going on here over the last two nights. When they only score one run in each game and you lose one of those games in extra innings and the other one only by two runs, you know, it's saying a lot. This team deserves to be in first place right now. I mean, they're good. They're gonna have some setbacks like we've seen in Philly, but they're good, and hopefully they'll jump right back on track tomorrow. I want to avoid those losing streaks, and they've done a pretty good job of that so far this year.
He is Bally Sports Wisconsin's Craig Kishon. Craig, always good to connect with you. We'll likely do it again some point throughout the season, as Dom is occasionally on assignment on Tuesday nights. Good stuff tonight, Craig. We'll check in again soon. Thank you.
All right, Greg. Thank you, buddy.
You bet. Take care. Craig Kishon of Bally Sports, Wisconsin. 942 on WTMJ. We've got some highlights for you before we get out of here. We'll hear from manager Pat Murphy coming up on the other side. It's Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
McGill kicks, delivers, swing and a miss! He struck him out! Good old number one off the outside part of the plate. Bohm went after it. And Trevor McGill, after the leadoff single surrendered, strikes out the side in Schwarber, Realmuto, and Bohm.
Impressive stuff from Trevor McGill. Man, good to have him back. You knew when he went out after getting hit on the elbow with that line drive, you couldn't afford to be without him terribly long, especially given that Devin Williams won't be back until after the All-Star break, and you're looking at maybe late July or maybe early August, which is great. You know, you get him back at some point this season, but you got to figure out a way to get through high-leverage situations. They have certainly been able to do that with Trevor Megill, no doubt about it. So it's been an interesting series so far from a pitching perspective. I would say pitching has been pretty strong here for the Brewers against this lineup. You've given up 5 combined runs in, let's call it, 19 innings of play, and you have 2 losses, unfortunately, to show for it because the Brewers' offense has been held in check. Missed opportunities like we talked about earlier today, certainly haunting the Brewers through the first 2 games of the season. Of this series, I should say. Go back to game number 1. You know, Brewers had a bases loaded, nobody out situation. Can't come away with the run. Situations tonight in the 9th inning. 2 on, nobody out. Ultimately, runners on 2nd and 3rd. Can't get a run across. Same thing in the 10th. Runners on 2nd and 3rd. Run on contact play. Can't get a run across. So, opportunities? Yes. Ability to cash in? No. And here the Brewers are chasing the best team in the league, or at least the National League, going into tomorrow afternoon's contest. Frustrating game for the Brewers. You had it. 1-0 into the 8th inning. Alec Bohm's home run tied the game, and momentum certainly shifted after that. Brewers manager Pat Murphy caught up with members of the media following tonight's game. Here's what he had to say.
Learning experience for us, and we didn't execute when we had to, and we didn't get the big hit. And I thought our pitching staff did a nice job for the most part. And kind of didn't get things to go our way. So, results in the loss and the extra inning loss, tough.
Their offense is obviously so good, but their pitching staff has done a really good job against you guys as well this series, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, their pitching staff's been good too. They got one of the best records in baseball, so there's a reason. We've played them tough twice, but playing them tough, you don't get any points in the win column. So, it's all about beating them and. Proud of our guys. We hung in again, played tough, competitive, had a couple of empty at-bats at times, but guys, for the most part, man, they're competing their brains out, and I love it, and that's why I love the team.
The one run you guys scored there, I think it was in the 3rd, Perkins was kind of like a one-man rally there. That's what he can do. Speed gets on, and then manufactures a run on his own.
Yeah, Perk's been great. Perk's been great. He almost made a couple more great catches that would have been, both were pretty close. And I couldn't be more pleased with how he's playing. And we had opportunities. We didn't get the ball in the air one time. We didn't make contact in the outfield a couple times. And we had opportunities to take the lead. Frustrating, but you can't. It's baseball. Yeah. We've had it go the other way many times, too. So.
Things kind of worked out exactly the way you would have liked it with Jared opening and then Colin. You got a really nice performance at the start of the game.
Really did. And Hudson was great, too. So to shut him out for that many innings, with those guys, it's pretty special. And then, Aguero made one tough pitch and one bad pitch. And, good piece of hitting at the end by Castellanos, a really good major league hitter.
What about Trevor? He said he didn't feel great after that first appearance, but for him to come in and do what he did tonight in a big spot.
Yeah, it was big. I mean, he was big. He threw the ball great against a huge part of their order, and although their order is good top to bottom, but he threw the ball great. I'm pleased with that.
Where the local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank, knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been servicing businesses in the area for about 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. Commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. It's Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. We'll run you through the highlights of tonight's game. We don't have many. We'll get through them after this. It's Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Gone!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Greg Matzek.
Game two of a three-game series. Brewers taking on the Philadelphia Phillies one night after falling to the Phillies by a score of 3-1. And it turned out to be a pitcher's duel. Weren't exactly sure how this game was going to shape up. You know, coming into the contest, of course, Phillies riding one of their hot starters. Brewers going with the initial out-getter approach before paving way to Colin Ray. And ultimately, it was the Brewers that took the lead in the third inning. Not exactly the sexiest of run-scoring opportunities, but effective nonetheless, with Andrew Monasterio grounding out the third, scoring Big Perkins.
The left-hander, 3-2 pitch, swinging a ground ball, chopped to third. Coming for the plate is Perkins. Bohm fields. He doesn't have a play at home, so he throws to first and gets Monasterio instead, and the Brewers take the lead.
And that came after the Philadelphia Phillies had threatened in their half of the second league. So a bit of an early momentum shift, perhaps, with Philly being stymied in the second, the Brewers cashing in the third. Colin Ray ultimately came on after the initial out-getter was removed from the game. So Ray in after an inning and a third of very fine pitching from Koenig, who was this initial out-getter for Pat Murphy in this series. So you get to the fourth inning, and all of a sudden you've got a little bit of a jam after Nick Castellanos grounded out to shortstop and there was a strikeout swinging. He had a stop ground out to the pitcher. Colin Ray was cruising right along.
From the windup, 2-1 pitch. Hard ground ball off the leg of Colin Ray. He's trying to track it down. He picks. He flips with his glove hand. He got the out at first. Wow! What a recovery by Colin Ray.
That came in the fourth inning. Nice play by Colin Ray to turn the Phillies away. More good fortune for the Brewers in the fifth inning. And I thought maybe, just maybe, this would be the end of Colin Ray's night. He had a very difficult situation developing here with the meat of the order up for the Philadelphia Phillies. Following a Kyle Schwarber walk, JT Realmuto was hit by a pitch, putting runners on first and second with two out and Bryce Harper up. Ray stayed in to face the former league MVP.
1-1 pitch. Ground ball to first base. Big hop for Hoskins. Race to the bag. Reese will win that race. And Colin Ray gets out of it. Pat Murphy stuck with his veteran, and it paid off.
1-0 going into the sixth inning, where Joey Ortiz hit a one-out single. He was ultimately stranded after William Contreras grounded out to third. Christian Yelich grounded out to third as well, and the Brewers were turned away. In the Phillies' half of the sixth, this is where things got interesting. Colin Ray, still on the hill for the Brewers, gets Alec Bohm to strike out, then serves up a double and a walk to Nick Castellanos. So out goes Ray, in comes Brian Hudson pitching for Milwaukee, inheriting two runs in a one-run game in the sixth inning, and he got out of it.
And now the 1-2 pitch. High fly ball, right center field, playable for Perkins, calling for it, squeezing it. Hudson got out of it. Brewers wiggle out of trouble for the second consecutive inning.
But ultimately, the Philadelphia Phillies would cash in on an opportunity in the eighth inning. Brewers clinging to their lead until this happened.
The pitch. High fly ball, left center field. Yelich looking. So is Perkins. It is gone in real time. Alec Bohm with his first hit of this series, his sixth home run of the season. It's a 1-1 ball game here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, so he had a tie game all of a sudden, and things would get dicey down the stretch. Again, with the Philadelphia Phillies looking to cash in on opportunities with Trevor Megill on the mound for the Brewers. After a leadoff swing single, Kyle Schwarber struck out swinging on the play. Rojas stole second. JT Realmuto then struck out swinging as well. Bryce Harper was intentionally walked, setting the stage for Bohm again. In the ninth, one inning after he tied the game with a home run.
Megill kicks, delivers, swing and a miss! He struck him out! Good old number one off the outside part of the plate. Bohm went after it, and Trevor Megill, after the leadoff single surrendered, strikes out the side in Schwarber, Realmuto, and Bohm.
So 1-1 into the 10th inning. Oliver Dunn started the inning on second base for the Brewers. Blake Perkins led off the frame, grounding out to shortstop, which moved Dunn to third. Sal Frelick was then hit by a pitch on his back foot, He goes to first base and ultimately steals second. So second and third, one out, and Bryce Tarang at the plate.
Dominguez, 3-2. Swing ground ball to second. Runner breaking for the plate. It's fielded by Stott. Throw home. Tag applied. Out. Dunn out. Realmuto held onto the baseball as Dunn slid into him. Runners will be on first and third, but now with two away as the Brewers put the contact play on. And the ground ball by Tarang was right at the second baseman, Bryson Stott.
Joey Ortiz fouled out to first base to end the inning. The Phillies came through in the 10th. They did what the Brewers couldn't. Yoel Piamps on for the Brewers. And Whit Merrifield entered the game to run at second base for Alec Bohm. And he ultimately had a walk to, intentional walk to Stott, who doubled earlier in the game. So he had runners on first and second. And it put the bat in the hands of Nick Castellanos, the veteran professional hitter, to win the game.
And Piamps finally ready to throw a pitch. Here it is. Swing line drive right field into the corner. That's going to slice and hit off the warning track and win the game. Bounces to the wall. The pinch runner Merrifield comes in to score. A walk-off RBI double for Nick Castellanos.
Two runs, eight hits, no errors for the Phillies. One run, seven hits, no errors for the Brewers. Piamps takes the loss with his one, not even half inning or third inning of work, allowed one hit, only threw a pitch or two. With Dominguez picking up the win, he improves to 2-2. The Phillies improved to 43-19 with the win, 26-9 at home. They are outstanding. Brewers fall to 36-25. It'll be Aaron Ashby on the mound for the Brewers, at least to start tomorrow's game. We'll see how long he goes. The lefty being brought up from AAA Nashville hasn't thrown in about a week, so a pretty normal rest for Ashby as he takes the mound tomorrow. Our network coverage gets underway about 2:30 on WTMJ. 2:35, we'll call it, as there's some rain in the area potentially tomorrow, so hopefully this game gets in and the Brewers come away with a win over the Phillies. Happy to be in for Dom Catronio tonight. Dom will be back tomorrow. Brewers extra innings following the afternoon game here on WTMJ. For Max Meyerson producing the program, I'm Greg Matzik saying good night. You've been listening to Brewers baseball coverage here on WTMJ.